It's been a lot of fun being here and getting to meet some of the Manchester Vineyard people over the past few days. We had a great clinic over this past weekend, a preaching clinic. So I spent the weekend teaching, I gotta tighten this up. Speaker's worst nightmare here, okay. Yeah, how many were at that clinic? What do we have? About 120, I think, during the day. Some of you were there. How many in here were there? Raise your hand. Well, I should have you preach tonight. Really, that 10-minute sermons from every one of you. We'd be here about 2 in the morning. It'd be great. We had a great time. I tell people when I do that clinic, I did it last summer in Toronto. We had 250 women where I went 5 days, 3 hours a day, teaching them how to preach. And by the end of the week, they were all preaching. You know, I said, I'm every pastor's nightmare, releasing these preachers all over the place. They're going to have somewhere to preach. So God better hurry and send revival because we need some more spots to proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be here tonight, and I have a special love for this church. We've had a lot of good times together and doing carpet time and praying for one another. And I just want to introduce our team. One of my team members is not here tonight, Steve Bennett, who's a full-time itinerant minister, actually from England. He's from Somerset, but he lives in Cleveland. And I'm on his board and work a little bit with him and advise him. And he's actually filling in for Martin, Pastor Martin Smith, because he's sick tonight. He's been sick for 48 hours. And he's so Steve Bennett is teaching a class tonight. But other than that, we have, that makes six members. If you guys could just stand up, guys and ladies, so just welcome them together. They come from Cleveland. Also, in addition, I bring you greetings from the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship, where I serve as one of the team members for Partners in Harvest, which is a worldwide association of churches tied in with Toronto. John and Carol are doing excellent. John and Carol Arnott, they've taken this year kind of off. By off, I mean they're not traveling as much, but they're still at home pastoring the church. You know, and everywhere I go, I get people to ask me, saying, are things still happening in Toronto? And when they asked for that, I said, well, you haven't been there for a while, have you? And they go, well, no, I haven't. I said, yes, they are. I mean, I was just there. I go there about every 6 weeks. I live about a 45-minute flight from Toronto, and I teach in their school of ministry. I train their prophetic teams. I have meetings, do renewal meetings, conferences, about anything they want me to do up there, I am available to do. And I was there in October at Catch the Fire. Was anybody there at the Toronto Catch the Fire in October? Had to be one of the more powerful meetings that I've ever been to. Randy Clark spoke at it. I spoke and some others. But there was a great release of the power of God. In fact, you know, I've told my story here from 94, how I was kind of a depleted pastor. I needed some fresh encouragement. I traveled. I was in Canada at the time. I'd been there, I spent 10 years in Canada pastoring. And so I drove over to Toronto with five or six of us, and we just got, I don't know what the proper English word would be, but we got blasted. I mean, we spent time on the floor. I got refreshed. I tell you, 40 minutes on the carpet at Toronto did me more than 10 weeks sabbatical that I had taken just prior to that. You know, physically, I was refreshed from the sabbatical. But emotionally and spiritually, I was recharged by time in the presence of the Lord. You know, there is nothing like time in the presence of the Lord. Nothing can substitute that. And so tonight, you've made a wise decision to come, because I believe God's presence is here, not only biblically, where two or three of us gather together, but I just sense his presence here. That band, you know, I've bragged about this band in all over the world, really, I have. I've talked about the band at Mount Chapel in Salford, or Manchester, because they're a little more familiar with it. I've told our church back home, as I've seen this band even kind of grow and deepen over the past couple years, if you're part of this church, you are thoroughly blessed, I want to tell you. I have an opportunity to hear bands and worship people all over the world, seriously. I mean, in Asia, Australia, Central America, all over Europe. And you have something to really be excited about in a right way, saying, you know what, God has blessed this church. And just thank God that he's brought great young people into your church that are willing to yield their giftings and yield their time and everything to the purposes of God. And I didn't plan on doing this, but let's just kind of thank them and give them a hand. They did a great job. Yeah. Thank you. You guys are great. Open your Bibles. We're going to look for a few minutes. I'm a bit in a quandary about what to do because I'm sensing several things here. And so I don't know what I'm going to do. We might, we might pray for some people. I might preach a little while. We might pray for some more people. We might prophesy over people. Last night we prophesied over, 50, 60, 18 to 30-year-olds or somewhere in that bracket. We had a great time. And tomorrow night, for sure, if we don't do it tonight, tomorrow night, we will minister to, prophesy over, and or bless everybody coming tomorrow night. We're going to pray for everybody tonight, but I'm talking about specific prophetic ministry. The whole team will be here tomorrow night, and we'll just line you up, and we'll start ministering. And the purpose of that, it's not like fortune-telling, where you're going to go and get your fortune read. That's not what it is. The Bible's very clear on a difference of the source of power for fortune-telling, soothsaying, those kinds of things, and the prophetic ministry. Unfortunately, people have been afraid of the prophetic ministry because it's been so distorted through evil practices that we forget that God wants to say something to us also. And he's very interested in our lives. So this team that I've brought has been trained, equipped. They work in my church back in Cleveland. They're some of them every Sunday. They're prophesying, ministering to people. They're on teams. So they're trusted people. I don't bring anyone on a trip for a vacation or a holiday. That's not why I bring them. I bring the people that I feel are the best. They're equipped. They're ready to go. And back home at our church, the Lord, you know, when I came here first, our church was only about a year old. God's raised up a mighty team of incredible people. We send them out literally all over the world and regionally in the United States and Canada. And so we're excited about the teams that are being raised up. And tomorrow night and tonight, you'll get a chance to kind of taste of that and hopefully get some good quality ministry that'll minister to you. But what I wanted to do right now, I sense during worship, is I want to pray for some people right now who have physical problems. In fact, someone here right now, there's a, the only way to describe it, it's like a knot kind of a feeling in the lower part of your back, maybe not all the way to the bottom, but somewhere toward the bottom you feel there's like a tightness, a knot in the lower part of your back, somewhere like right about right here in this area. If that's you right now, could you just stand up in this room? Somebody here is feeling, there may be several somebodies. I usually find that. Okay, you're feeling that right now, each one of you? Yeah. There's something that's, okay, we're going to pray for you in just a minute. Also, somebody, just remain standing a second. Someone else, you have these like pains that come, and they're on the shoulder blade. I think it's the left shoulder blade. It may not be just there, but it's like a shooting pain, and it's made you have some kind of fears that it might be your heart or something like that, although somehow you know it's not your heart, but the enemy's been using this to torment you. And there's something of a pain right back in here. And if that's you, just stand up. I'd like to pray for you also. Okay? There should be about three or four. So don't be afraid. I'll say, well, I'm not sure if that's me. And I don't want to take something that God doesn't want to give me. Sure, yeah, you do. Go ahead and just stand up. We're going to pray for you. So if you've got that pain, it's right back here. Just stand up. We're going to pray for you. In fact, our team's going to launch out. You guys just stand up for a minute. We're going to spread out and pray for you just a moment. But there's another one, too. Somebody's feeling pressure like behind your eyes. It may even, you've interpreted it, I think, as like a headache or something. But it hasn't even always been just like a pain, but you feel pressure behind your eyes, and at times you find yourself rubbing your eyes and trying to get some clarity. There may have even been some kind of problems with your vision as a result of it, but not necessarily. But you've been having a pressure behind your eyes, and it's been producing a little bit of concern. If that's you, would you just stand up? Did anyone stand up for that and I missed you? If you could just stand up around the room. Again, there's probably about two or three of you that have that. There's one. Anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody. Pressure's behind the eyes. Okay, two. Is there another one? Just don't want to miss anyone. Okay, good. We're going to pray for you. And then we're going to pray for everyone because I know there's a lot of other physical needs here. These are the ones specifically that I felt the Lord spoke to me about. I'd like everybody just to kind of maybe adjust yourself a little bit, stretch your hand towards some of these that are standing. And I like my team just spread out, and obviously we have more people standing than we do team members, so feel free to move around, team members. We're just going to release right now faith. The Lord's given me a gift of faith. I believe that's one of my primary gifts. And so this is not by accident you're standing. If you could just hold from talking to the people right now, just for a second, because I want to pray. And I want them to hear Rita. I want them to hear what I'm saying right now. So just hold for just a second. We're going to pray. Lord, I ask right now that your hand would come upon each one of these that are standing. Lord, in those three specific areas that I called out, Lord, you know what they were and you know who these people are and why they stood. But by them standing, they've said, you know what? I believe in faith that God may want to touch me. Lord, you took the time to put it on my heart to call them out. You've had them stand. And I ask, Lord, right now that there will be a meeting with them right now in their hearts, attaching to their faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone here in this room say, Jesus Christ. There's power in the name of Jesus. And we release right now healing power into those eyes, into that back pain, and into that not feeling in the bottom of the back right now. Let the fire of God, no, come in the name of the Lord Jesus. Right now, down those backs, in that shoulder blade region right now, in those eyes, release the pressure. Let the power of God come. Now just let it come. Fall on you right now. It's the presence like a warmth of the Holy Spirit just descending on you from heaven right now. Let it come. A measure of healing. More. More, Lord. Increase. Increase. Now keep your eyes closed. Just kind of keep being ministered to from the Lord. But let me ask you a question while you're standing there. How many of you, if you're not feeling something, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. I mean, this operates by faith, and sometimes God will move powerfully even though you don't feel anything. But many times people do feel something. If you're feeling something right now, like you sense God's touching you, you may not even be able to describe that. Just kind of wave a hand at me right now if that's you, you're feeling that. Okay, one, two, three, four of you. Okay, we're gonna pray. That's about half of those that are standing. God's touching right now in such a way that they can feel it. Now let's ask for an increase. We can do that. We just say, Lord, just increase your presence right now to every person standing in this room for healing right now. Let it come. Ah, fire of God, come right now and just touch. The team members, just kind of gently lay your hands on the head right now. Right on the head. He wants to go right from the head to the feet. Just let the fire of God go right now, descending down that spinal cord, down that back in the name of Jesus. Let your fire come, Lord. Release anointing in the name of Jesus. And with it, I bind every ounce of fear that's been attached to this thing. Because the enemy, Satan, usually likes to attach fear to sickness. We'll think it's something much worse than it might be, or fear of death, all those kinds of things, trauma, family, loss of family. Oh, we bind it in the name of Jesus. I ask, Lord, for just your presence just to come and increase more, more, more. Let it come, more. Heavier, heavier, heavier in the name of Jesus. Now, those of you that are standing, we're going to keep praying, but if you sense the presence of God is somehow moving in you right now, just kind of wave your hand at me if you can. If you're able to, just wave your hand. That just gives me an indication. Okay? It's about five now. You're doing that. Just let it come. More. Increase your fire. Now, we're going to keep praying for them. Team, stick with them right now because that God's moving on them. But there's also some of you here that have many different physical problems. Some of you, in fact, there's other things that I was getting about knees. But I don't want to limit to that. If you've got a physical problem right now that you've been believing God for to touch you, it might be allergies, it might be migraine headaches, it might be intestinal problems, nervous conditions. I don't know what it is, but as soon as I said it, something came to your mind which indicates that you need prayer for something. I want to tell you something. I don't care if you've had prayer 1,000 times. It doesn't matter to me. I've seen people healed on the 1,001st time that they were prayed. I don't know why that happens, and theologically I can't even explain it, except periodically all of a sudden the heavens open up, and what's in heaven comes down here. And what's in heaven, there's no sickness, there's no poverty, there's no despair, there's no depression in heaven. So if you're here and you've got a physical problem and you'd like someone to just take a minute and pray with you, if you'll stand up, I want to pray for you all around the room. It's probably a lot of people all around the room. Also include in that those who've been harassed with depression. I feel special anointing to pray for those who've been harassed with depression. In fact, those of you who have been harassed with depression, I want you to come and stand across the front here. I'm going to pray for you. There's been, you know, and it comes in various levels. Some people are actually suicidal. Other people just have a sense of hopelessness. Like, is my life ever going to change? And I want to pray for you right now, because over this area, there's a spirit of futility over Salford, Manchester area. This area, you know why I feel so comfortable here? It's because it feels very much like Cleveland. It really does. We have about 2.5 million people in Cleveland. It's about the same size as this area. We've got a really good football team. It's about the same thing as Manchester, you know. It's very similar, an industrial town with universities, just like Cleveland. And so I believe similar type strongholds attack these kinds of areas. And that's one of the reasons why I believe the Lord led me here way back whenever he did. It's because he sends me to cities all over the world that have similar kinds of spiritual attack. And I believe this is one of them. So we're going to pray for you and just ask for a break. I know what it is to experience depression. I know what it is to stand and feel like you're on a precipice, just about to fall into a death or insanity or fear or whatever it might be. And it's a tormenting kind of a thing. But right now, we're going to break that hold, because I believe, although sometimes I know it can be organic, it can be a physical problem that causes it, many times it's harassing spirits that come against the mind. So first of all, I'm going to pray for everyone else and their physical sicknesses, and then I'm going to deal with this. Lord, all around this room, those who have stood up have stood with various things on their mind. Headaches, physical problems of all sorts, knee problems, Lord. Many of them are not able to sleep at night. Insomnia. And Lord, right now I ask that you would move. They don't even really need someone to touch them. But Lord, you can touch them right now. And I encourage everyone here to kind of press through the crowd, so to speak, to touch the Lord, the hem of his garment right now. Because there's some disbursement of virtue that will come into your physical body right now. Lord, I release your power, Lord, to come in the name of Jesus. Oh, let it come. The fire of God move throughout this room. We don't have to have music playing. We don't have to have people yelling or jumping up and down or anything like that. All we need is a touch from Jesus. And all around this room right now, Lord, the leper, Lord, who came to you and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. What was your response, Lord? You said, I will be clean. And Lord, all around this room right now, I ask, Lord, for the freeing power of the Holy Spirit to touch every person. In the name of Jesus. Now just start receiving that, those of you who stood up. And those who come forward for depression, that you have depression in your life at one level or another. In the name of Jesus, many of you, the Lord's revealed to me, many of you are creative type people. In fact, this young man right here, God just put a creativity that's been invested in your life, and it's been the attack of the enemy to try to hinder that creativity from coming forth. He'd like to take it into a dark area, but God's bringing light right now, that creativity. In the name of Jesus, we speak to depression specifically. And every person that came forward, and every person at some level in this room because of the geographic location of where they live. And we break its hold in Jesus' name right now. Chains coming off the shoulders. Weights. Unusual feeling of pressure upon the back, the shoulders, and the neck. We break the yoke in the name of Jesus. For the anointing breaks the yoke. We break it right now in the name of Jesus. We break it right now in the name of Jesus. We break it right now in the name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, for a lifting of the head right now in the name of the Lord. Just let it come. A lifting of the head. A lightness. You know what? It's like a vapor. It's just going to fill your heart and mind right now. A lightness coming in to your mind in the name of Jesus. Release. Release. Oh, release, release, in the name of the Lord, release, new hope, oh, in the name of Jesus, new hope, let it come, break off fear in the name of the Lord, new hope, strong heart, new hope, in the name of Jesus, strength into the heart, the aortas, strength, Lord, in the name of Jesus, purifying of the blood in Jesus' name, release, release more, no, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now just soak that in for a minute. Just kind of drink it in. Everybody who's seated, really pray right now, because your day will come too. You'll be struggling with some kind of sickness and you'll want corporate intercession. You know how it is. When it's my problem, it's a big problem. We want God to touch and everyone to pray. So, Lord, right now, we ask for a greater release upon each person in this room in the name of Jesus. Team members, just kind of move around fast and just touch on a lot of people here. More, more, Lord. Hey! In the name of Jesus. More, Lord. Ooh. That's right. He's near to the brokenhearted. He's near to those who have a contrite and a brokenhearted. He's near to you right now. Ooh. Someone here is feeling like they're losing their son. I don't know who you are, and I wouldn't want to call you out, but somebody here, an older person, is feeling like they're kind of losing their son. Their son's drifting out. Something about like prodigal type thing. It's a relational thing, and you feel so hopeless about it. And the Lord's telling you, you, mother, mom, you have authority given to you in Jesus' name to call that person home. I just see you every morning getting up and standing at the front door and literally calling out and calling the name of this son, saying, in Jesus' name, I call you home. In Jesus' name, and I see a faithfulness every day getting up and calling out, in Jesus' name, I call you home. God's given you a divine strategy to arrest that son and bring him back home right now. So be hopeful in your heart. Be hopeful. The Lord is turning him around as you call out his name. And Lord, finally, I just ask for a great anointing of peace just to come upon this room right now, upon every person. As I share the word over the next few minutes, I pray for open hearts, any fallow ground. Break it up, Lord. I pray for the seed of the word of God to go into the heart and produce fruit in these next few moments so that we can pray for them again, Lord. And I pray, Lord, as we pray for them on the second run, that there'll be a rush of your spirit that would come upon them and break every yoke in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, all around the room, just kind of lift your hands up to the Lord. You don't have to lift them high, but just lift them up. And let's just thank the Lord for all that he's done already. Lord, we thank you for every measure of healing and every measure of deliverance. And we invite you to come and do more. Do more, Lord. Just come and fill our hearts full with your mercy and your love. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, you can be seated for a few minutes, and then we'll look at some scripture. Oh. All right. You know, what's been on my mind, actually, just about all of 1999 and into this year, 2000. It's just the accessibility of the Lord. That his heart and what has been spoken in the renewal over the past 6 years is God saying, you know what God's saying? He said, I'm here. Come and get me. He's really saying, I'm here. And there's this sense where he is wanting to be sought out. And I don't understand it because the Bible shows both sides of the coin. It shows that he's a God that wants to be sought. And it also shows another side of the coin where he's out seeking. So we're bound to find one another here somewhere. I mean, if he's looking for us and we're looking for him, it can't be too hard to find God. Like, God's really big. We might be a little harder to find at times. But he's going to find us. He knows exactly where you are. The Bible says he knows the amount of hair on your head. Turn the person next to you and say, he knows every hair on your head. I know some of us, you got to speak that in faith. But he knows. He knew even the ones that you used to have. He wants to be found. There's a sense where the Lord has put himself in a position where he says, look, knock, and it shall be open. Ask, and I will answer. Seek, and I might be found. He's there in that place where he's calling for us to come. I was amazed, you know, as I was looking over Isaiah chapter 9. You don't have to turn there because we're going to look at Deuteronomy in a minute. But, you know, Isaiah 9, we've got to get the impression. I'm going to speak on this tonight and tomorrow night, I think. This whole thing of hide and seek and God hiding and wanting to be found by us. that the Holy Spirit, I always picture the Holy Spirit. Here's my belief. Of course, I believe in the Trinity. I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And there's just a different expression that kind of comes out. We try to put God in a box, and I've preached on that here before, you know, how that we try to say, well, God's this way. We try to recreate God in our image because somehow we think God's like us. He's got to be. I mean, we like us, and he must be like us. I mean, it's just the way it is. And then we find out that he's not quite like us all the time, that he does act a little bit different. I mean, you know, they say the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. You know, he would never do anything against somebody's will. You know, that people that say that, I don't think have read their Bibles. Did you read Acts chapter 2? Was that gentleman-like for him to come into Jerusalem the way he did? You know, if he was a gentleman, he would have come into Jerusalem, and there were 120 gathered in the upper room. He would have come and said, you know, and they would have been in there waiting on the Lord, and he would have knocked again. If he was a gentleman, he would have knocked again, and they'd go, who is it? He'd go, it's the Holy Spirit, and I'm here to touch you. They go, okay, just a minute. We were praying. And then he would wait patiently because he's a gentleman. He'd wait patiently out there, and finally they'd come, they'd open the door, and he'd go, oh, hello. And they'd go, oh, Holy Spirit. And they'd give high fives or something. I don't know what they'd do. And they'd go, you're here, you know. And he'd go, now I'm here, and I'm not going to hurt anybody. That's not the kind of person I am. And I'm not going to mess up your hair, and you won't have to fall on the floor, nothing like that, because I'm a gentleman. I'm here just to kind of touch you. And he'd go around like, do you have the Pillsbury Doughboy over here? You know, you just kind of touch your belly and go, ooh. And you go, oh. And you wouldn't fall or be too much out of. In fact, if you're not a laughing person, you probably wouldn't laugh. You just go, oh, wow, that felt good. If you're a laughing person, you go, oh. If you're a crying person, you go, ooh. You know, because he's a gentleman. He wouldn't have you do. But then we read the real book of Acts chapter 2. He comes in like a whirlwind. Doesn't ask anybody, breaks through into where the 120 are. I don't know if they were kind of up there just kind of quietly walking back and forth. And all of a sudden he says, let's do something different. Tongues of fire, you know. And the Bible says on their heads, tongues of fire. They're like, nah! And, you know, this real fire. And they speak in 17 different languages. And Peter finally taking his stand. It seems to indicate in Acts 2 that he was on the floor. Because it says Peter taking his stand and lifting his voice, preaches and proclaims to those that he had just denied Christ several days, not too long before that, about 40 days before that, he denied Christ. Now he boldly proclaims Jesus Christ. That is the gentleman Holy Spirit. He comes and does those kinds of things. So we've seen all around the world as this quote-unquote gentleman, the Holy Spirit, comes and really wrecks some people's lives in order to turn them around, you know, because sometimes he'll, what's the saying Paul Kane uses? He insults the, offends the mind to reveal the heart. Offends the mind to reveal the heart. And so we find out he doesn't always come just real gentle. Sometimes he does, I'll admit that. Sometimes he comes in just the still, small voice. And I love that time. I really do. The past couple days, I just felt the still, small voice of the Lord. But we've got to give room for God that he's not always the still, small voice. And that when we find him, we may grab onto something much different than we intended to. I remember when I was building out our basement in our house, you know, and what I was doing is I was adding a family room where we could watch TV and another bedroom. This is while we're in Canada. I was down there, and you got all the studs, the 2x4 studs that are up there, you know, and all the electrical stuff's in place. And I went back there, and it was dark, and I was trying to flip on the switch, and I didn't have switch plates on the wall yet. And so you reach your finger in the dark thinking you're going to get a nice, gentle switch, and the light comes on, you know. Well, what I didn't know is my hand went past the little switch into the box and touched the wires, and it was like, whoa, you know, and I turned the light on. I was like, oh, man, you know, I mean, your heart flips. It goes right through your body. I didn't anticipate that. You know, some of us are like that with God. It's like, okay, Lord, I want to touch you, and you can touch me now. And it's going to be, you know, and you're like, oh, what was that? Well, he does those kinds of things. And what I found was, this is what I'm getting to. We got God in this box, but God the Holy Spirit, seems to be, now don't hold me on this, and don't say that I've got some new theology or whatever. He seems to be the one that likes to mess with people. He likes it. Jesus deals with the heart and the mind and God the Father with his love and compassion and the judgments of the Lord. But the Holy Spirit's kind of the one that seems to kind of come in and just mess with people. He impresses me, and I know this isn't true, but I'm just telling you, his heart seems like almost that of a child, the playfulness of a child, you know. And he likes to come into rooms and just kind of move and touch people, and the swooning of the Lord as he comes and touches people's lives. Well, he's also like a child in the sense that he loves to reveal Jesus Christ. That's his whole job description. The Holy Spirit's entire job description really is to reveal Jesus, is to point to Jesus, is to unveil Jesus and to say, this is Jesus Christ. During the worship tonight, as you're beginning to sense a move of the Holy Spirit, his purpose is to pull back a veil in our lives so that we may see Jesus, because the Bible says when we see Jesus, we're changed. It says in Corinthians that we're changed from glory to glory. It's like looking in a mirror. I mean, there's something that impacts us. It's his glory when we see him. And the things that you've been struggling with for years and try to get rid of that you can't get rid of, one glimpse of Jesus can stop that in an instant. One glimpse of Jesus can arrest addictions in your life. It's incredible. So why do we seek him? Because we need change. We need to see it. And the neat thing is you seek him for who he is, but the fringe benefit is that you get all that he is, which is healing and deliverance and freedom, all those things along with it. So the Holy Spirit is constantly revealing things ahead of time. That's what I want to talk about tonight and tomorrow. In Isaiah chapter 9, he reveals 500 years before Christ. He can't take it any longer. So through the prophet Isaiah, he unveils Christ. So this is what he's going to be like. Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God, eternal Father. You know, I don't know if heaven's going, shh, don't tell him yet. But he has to reveal it. You know, when you have children that buy you a present, you ever notice that like on your birthday or something, if you're a parent and your child buys you a present, they can't keep it a secret. They try. You know, my daughter Ashley, in fact, my wife gets upset at me all the time. She goes, she'll tell Ashley, if Ashley buys me a gift, she says, Ashley, do not talk to your father. If you talk to your father, he'll get it out of you what the gift is. She goes, oh, no, he won't. And she underestimates my power. So she'll come in, she'll have the present all wrapped. She goes, guess what, Dad? And I said, what? She goes, I got you a gift today. And I said, oh, you didn't get me. She goes, yes, it's for you. And she goes, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. And I said, oh, well, you don't know it. You don't need to tell me what it is. I want it to be a surprise. She goes, I know, and I'm not going to tell you. I said, but I know it's that belt that mommy was looking at the other day. No, it's not a belt. Now, my wife in the other room would be cooking and hear that. She'll go, Ashley, you're telling him what it is. Stop it now or he's going to get it out of you. And she goes, I didn't tell him. He knows it's not a belt. She goes, I know. Now he knows it's not a belt. And so we'll keep in this conversation. You can hear her exhortation coming out of the other room. Ashley, don't say another word. Go up to your room. Get away from him or he'll get it out. Why? Well, little children, they something within them, they can't help. They've got to reveal, you know, they've got to reveal what it is I've got. The Holy Spirit is a lot like that. He has this incredible treasure. He has these incredible secrets of heaven. Do you know that, and this is what I'm going to talk about tomorrow night, the warehouses in heaven are full of incredible secrets and understanding, and he's wanting to reveal them to you. These are the deep things of the Lord, the treasures of God. Let's just look at this. I want to show you in Deuteronomy chapter 4. And then we're going to ask the Lord just to start revealing himself, that we might see him, that we may be changed. Deuteronomy, I'm going to jump through a couple scriptures here in the Old Testament real quick. And you can study more of it on your own if you'd like to. It's great. The Bible's just full of this stuff about God wanting to reveal himself. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, look at verse 29. It says this, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him. How? If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Now that's a promise in the Word of God. If you'll seek him, he can be found. Everyone here in this room, you may feel very isolated. You may feel away from God. I'm telling you, don't give up. He can be found. You can experience Jesus Christ. You can feel the touch of the Lord. You can feel the eyes of the Lord. You can feel a sense of his presence. And actually, about a month ago in our church back home in Cleveland, actually it was about It was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, several of us smelled roses coming forth in the midst of worship. He's the Rose of Sharon. It's not the first time I've smelled it. I was in Toronto once, and it filled the entire room. Just the scent. It was like someone brought in 1,000 fresh roses into the room. You know that scent you get when you're over in Amsterdam and you go to those huge flower places where they bring all the tulips and you walk in there and it's like, whoa, this scent that just comes. It's that kind of a thing. You can experience Jesus Christ and he will change your life. Now, you can keep your finger there if you want, but turn over to 2 Chronicles. I want to show you there's a little theme here. I've just picked out a few. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles 15. By the way, invite your friends tomorrow night. We're going to have a lot of fun these next two nights. Just going to see what God might have for us. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 4. Look at this. It says, "But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him," what happened? "He was found by them." Now here's the loving Father. I've talked about this actually in reverse in illustrations here before. But the loving Father, have you ever played hide and seek with your children as a father or mother? You know, when I go hide from my kids, and they like to play it when their mom, my wife, is out of the house. For some reason that's more fun to them. I don't know why. The older kids are gone. I've got an 18-year-old, a 16-year-old, and an 11 and 9-year-old. And so the younger ones, they enjoy this more. So when they're all gone, the big ones, you know, they're no fun. Get them out of the house. Then we have fun. And they go, "Oh, Dad's home alone." They know that's a special time because we get crazy, you know. They go, "Let's play hide and seek." And so they get me to hide. Now, I know as a father, I've got to hide in such a place where they can find me. Otherwise, they freak out. "Where's Dad? He left home." You know, like, "No, I'm not." So I go and I hide somewhere. I'll go hide in a closet or something like that. And I can hear them. They're buddies, you know, Ashley and Josh. And they come up the steps. They go, "You think he's upstairs?" I can hear them talking out there. They go, "Do you think he's upstairs? Maybe he's in your room, Josh. You go in and check." They're like, "No, I'm not going in and check," you know. And so they freeze in the hallway because they need more hints. And so I'll be hiding in the closet and I'll go, "Did you hear that, Josh? Where did that come from?" And I'm hearing the whole conversation. "It's in your room, Josh. Come on, let's go." And they real close together, they start walking toward Josh's room, you know. "You think he's in the closet or is he behind the bed?" You know. "I don't know. You go check." "No, I'm not going to go check. You go check." Because they know when they find me, I go, "Ah!" And it freaks them out, you know. So they wait. They're waiting for more hints. And they're frozen in the hallway looking in the door. "He's in the closet. Go open the door." And you can hear them giggling. They walk over close, you know, and they can see. "I can see it through the crack." And I open the door and yell, you know, and they're, "Ah!" And I go, "Go hide again. Go hide again." Now, why is that so much fun to them? I don't understand, because they know right where I am. You know, I believe that God does the same thing. And sometimes he does hide himself, but he wants to be found because he's a father. And so you're looking for him. You say, "Oh, well, where are you, Lord? Where are you?" If you will listen clearly, you'll hear, "He's over there. He's somewhere. Lord, do it again." You know, he'll do it again. "He's over there." You're seeking out your career, trying to figure out what you're going to do with your life. I'm telling you, the loving Father will lead you down the path where you're going to find your purpose in life. Now look with me to 1 Corinthians. Jump over to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians. He wants to be found. Just got to look him up. He's not in the phone book. But you can't find him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is my favorite passage in the Bible. I've preached on this, I don't know, I bet over 100 times. Every time I read it, I get something different out of it. But look at this verse here, starting in verse 9. I'm going to be preaching out of this verse again tomorrow night. It says, "But as it is written," let's see, I want to make sure I'm not missing anything. Well, back in 7, it talks about the mystery of the Lord, that sense of, where is God? He talks in parables. He talks with signs and wonders, and at times he wants to be figured out and understood. And it says in verse 9, "But as it is written," now this is a promise to every believer here tonight, "eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." I want you to think a minute. Just think a minute. Think of the best thing that could ever happen to you in your life. Just think of it for a minute. For me, it'd be owning a Harley Davidson. Let's just think about that for a minute. It'd be incredible. Now think of that. Everyone have something in your mind? Raise your hand if you got something. Something really good in your mind. Wow, it's taking some of you longer. You're trying to decide between the top three. Is that what it is? You're like, wow, I don't know. Might be this, might be that. Okay. Okay, now think of that. Well, according to the Bible, that you can't even begin to imagine what he's got for you. You take your greatest imagination of how God wants to use you, how he wants to touch you, and then he tops it always. And he goes, no. Okay, what you're thinking about right now, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor it's even entered into your heart. You don't even know what you want yet. That's how, what a great father he is. He knows more than you what you need. And he knows more than you what you want. Because sometimes I don't even know what I want. He says, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, verse 10. Here it is. You know that Holy Spirit that kind of acts like a child sometimes? Here it is in verse 10. But God has revealed them to us. Isn't that interesting? All those things he's downloading, he's revealing. How? Who is the one that squeals? Who's the one that leaks out of heaven those secrets and those keys? Who is it? God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. You know, when you were a little child, maybe you don't do it here. We do it in America. Somewhere in the house, mom and dad has hidden the Christmas presents. They go out for a little while. What do? I think they're up in their bedroom closet. I think they're downstairs in the basement. And so you go on this search. And, of course, mom gets home. She goes, you weren't looking for the Christmas. Oh, no. No, you're searching out all things you want to discover. The Holy Spirit's in heaven right now, and he's searching out the deep things of God. Why? He wants to reveal them to God's people. And for some strange reason, God the Father, God the Son, has given him absolute permission to reveal the secrets of heaven, for he says he searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, let's just look at a few surprises that are right in the Bible. Turn to Luke 24. This is a Bible survey tonight. Luke 24. I'm testing your ability to find your way around the Bible. Luke 24. There's a story here about a couple of men that meet up with a guy on the road to Emmaus. Do you remember that story? And they're walking along. Now, this is fascinating. I'm always amazed by this scripture because they're walking with Jesus, but they don't know it. I don't know why they didn't know it. Because they knew about Jesus, but some reason they didn't recognize him. Maybe it's, you know, because he's been resurrected, glorified body. I don't know what that is. But anyway, it says, and he's speaking to them. Now imagine this. Jesus is walking with these men. And it says in verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Would you like to have heard that conversation? I'd like to buy the tapes. I'd pay whatever. I mean, really. Imagine, it's like Bible overview by Jesus. And you know, it would be very good. It would have great revelation, and it would be accurate. You could trust that it was from God, you know. And he expounds to them all this stuff. And they drew near to a village, and they kind of tell him, hey, come on in, stay with us for a while. And sure enough, he does. And they go in, and they break bread, you remember? And it's a surprise, verse 31. Their eyes were open. I feel the Holy Spirit had something to do with that. He revealed it. He opened their eyes, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. See that? It's the play that the Lord goes, oh, they know me. He's gone, you know. It says, and they turned to one another, and then they start reevaluating everything they said. You ever done that? Where you have this big, long conversation with somebody, and you find out that they're related to someone else you know, and then you think, oh, my gracious, what did I say to them? Well, they do the same thing. They go, wow, wait a minute. He was talking about all this, and then he said, did not our hearts burn within us while we talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? So there was this incredible ability the Lord had as he was revealing themselves, and they didn't even know it. I think there's some people in this room right now, you're walking with the Lord, and you're not even sure about it. The Lord is right with you right now, and there's going to be a day when you look back and say, Jesus was with me when I went through that situation. I didn't even see him there. I didn't even know that that was him. I didn't know that teacher that was there, or that person that helped me or counseled me or whatever, It was the Spirit of Christ in that person that was with me in that spot, and I didn't even realize it. Some of you have not even realized that right now in your difficult situation you're facing, the Lord is right there. And you know what? He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to be found by you. Now, let's turn over to John chapter 20. I think this is my final illustration. John chapter 20, verse 24. We have another situation. A guy, Thomas. We know him as Doubting Thomas. Wouldn't you like to be stuck with that all your life? Doubting Steve. because he just didn't believe that Jesus had resurrected. And so Jesus appears to him. Remember, Jesus wants to reveal himself. He comes, and Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, verse 24, was not with them when Jesus came. And so we find that Jesus shows up in their midst. In verse 26, he says, "Peace to you." And then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it in my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." I think some of you tonight, the Lord's wanting to speak to you and say, you know what? You've been in a place of doubt. You've been in a place of fear. And the Lord's saying, just reach out your hand right now. He wants you to find him. He wants to reveal himself to you. I don't know that you're going to feel the sword print in his side. I don't know that you're going to feel the nail print in his hand. But you're going to touch Jesus tonight. And he can be touched in even a greater way than he was touched 2,000 years ago when he walked here on this planet Earth. He's waiting for people. He's saying, "I want to reveal. I want to open up my life to you." You know, it was about a year ago. It was actually about a year and a half ago. The Lord gave me an idea. My wife had been wanting a new sofa. Is that what you call it here? Sofa, couch, Chesterfield. What do you? Every country is a little different. A sofa. And it was quite expensive, and we didn't have the money. Our monies were kind of going other directions, and so there was no extra money for that. Any of you ever been in that situation? Like, all your money is fully accounted for. And so it's like, well, how are we going to do that, you know? It's not there. And so what happened was, of course, I speak in different places around the world, and I get some money, and I get a salary from our church. And so I started skimming money off the top. She didn't know it. I bring home the check. She kind of knows, you know, what I should be getting or whatever. But I started cutting off about, you know, maybe $100 each time I'd get some money, and or $50 and $25 here and $75 there. And I opened a secret bank account. It was really kind of a lot of fun, you know. I had this, like, secret account. But I told my secretary, because I thought if I die or something and she finds a secret account, she's going to wonder what in the world was going on, you know. So I told my secretary, I got this secret account because I'm saving money for my wife to buy her this sofa. Now, the thing is, you know, over a period of time, I did this quite a while, and I got very aggressive at it. I wouldn't eat out. I'd just go, "I don't want to eat out," you know, and then I'd take that money and I'd put it in the account. Certain things that I would normally get, I thought, well, I'm not going to get that, and I'd take the money and I'd put it. And it grew very fast. In fact, it's become very inspiring to me how fast you can save up money when you decide, I'm not going to get this and I'm not going to get that. And so I started accumulating this cash fund. It got up to, I don't know, it was probably a couple $1,000s, something like that. And the sofa was somewhere around $1,400 or $1,500, somewhere like that. I don't remember these things, but anyway, it was a lot of money to us. And so it built in this account, and I knew the day was coming. You know, I thought, oh, this is going to be great. We're getting close to Christmas. She has no idea I have this money. In fact, all the time she's saying, we're never going to get that sofa. And I go, well, you don't know. God can do some incredible things, you know. Inside, though, every time she'd bring it up, I'd feel like saying, I've got it, you know, but you didn't. You hold it back, you know. You hold it back. And so there's this tension. Every time she'd say something, I'd like inside, something within me would just want to reveal what's been happening, but I wouldn't. I'd hold it back. Months gone by. And finally, on one of our days off, she said, let's just go downtown and look through the furniture. No, I suggest that. I said, let's go downtown and look through the furniture store. And she goes, what for? She goes, you know, we can't afford that sofa. Why go down and torment ourselves walking through the store? I said, well, let's just go down and we'll go eat downtown or something, and then we'll just go over and see if they got anything on sale or anything like that. And so we go downtown. She's kind of reluctant. We go in the store. We'll walk around. It's a beautiful store. It's down in the flats in Cleveland, this nice area where they got this great store, you know, we're looking at. And it's perfect. They have all kinds of neat sofas there, you know. And finally we get halfway through, and she sits down on this sofa that she really likes, you know. She sits down there, and she looks around. I said, what do you think? She goes, what do you mean, what do I think? She goes, I love this sofa. She goes, we're never going to be able to get this sofa. And I said, if you want the sofa, get it. She goes, I am not charging this sofa. I'm not putting it on credit. I said, well, don't put it on credit. Let's pay cash. And she looks at me and says, are you crazy? I do the checkbook. There is no cash there. I said, well, let's not take it out of that account. Let's take it out of my account. What account? It's like, I better reveal the story real quick, you know. I said, well, Cindy, for the past 6 months, I've been stashing this money away, and I've got more than enough money to pay for the sofa. Now, it was funny. You know how women are? In a split second, 1 second, she was ready to kill me, wondering why I had secret money. And the other thing, she was going, oh, she loved me and embraced her. I love you. You're the greatest husband in the world. And I knew that already. But anyway, it was good to have that affirmed, you know. And so it was this secret was revealed. And you saw the rejoicing, like, I can't believe it. What a great feeling all of a sudden in an instant to know you've got the money to buy what you need. You know, the Holy Spirit's in the room right here tonight. I tell you, he's got secrets from heaven. He's got some stuff that God's just been wanting to give you. And in your life, you go, this is never going to happen. I'm not going to be touched in this way. I'm not going to be released to this. And the Holy Spirit, remember what he's like. He cannot hold a secret very long. He's there. He's wanting to say, surprise, the treasures of heaven are open to you right now. And I'm telling you, this entire renewal, as weird as it's been at times, has really been all about that. It's about the Lord rending the heavens and pouring down what's in heaven down here on earth. And sometimes when people touch it, like in that nighttime reaching around for the switch, you know, there's a response that takes place that's a little different. I tell people, don't freak out when people are shaking or falling or whatever. That's just their response to the Holy Spirit. Do I have to do that? No, you don't have to do that. You might get to do it, but you don't have to do it. God may have something very unique, his very unique way of touching your life right now. So let's just close our eyes. Let's stand up. Let's stand up right now. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and just begin to, touch us. If you get a few of our band members up here and a little bit of background music here as we just kind of wait on the Lord. Let's just wait and see what he has. Lord, we seek you out tonight. And you've promised us that you can be found, Lord. Whoa! Oh, man. I think I found him. Wow. I'm telling you, he is here right now. Don't you love it when he comes and just shows his mercy? I know some of you are under condemnation right now because maybe you didn't have a great week. You forgot to read your Bible. You forgot to pray like you should. Might have even stumbled in sin. I don't know. Right now, if that's you right now, just say, Lord, I'm sorry, and put it off to the side. And allow for the refreshment of the Lord just begin to come down. As if the Lord opens heaven right now, which is what I believe he does. Just like a computer downloading into the disk of your heart. Poof. It's coming from heaven. The sense of God. It's almost like you can touch him. It's almost like you can smell him. It's almost like you can hear him. It's like, oh, Lord, you're here, Lord. And right now, his Holy Spirit is moving in and out of every aisle right now. It's going right through your bodies and through your hearts. Some of you can feel a little shoo. The Holy Spirit's just kind of going through you, you know. And he's here, and he's got a sack full of presents from heaven. Peace, joy, kindness, gentleness, all the fruit of what? The Spirit. He also has gifts of the Spirit. It's a big bag. It's full of all kinds of stuff. He's coming right now, and he knows what you need even more than you know, because he's searched out the deep things of God. He comes down educated. Knowledgeable, wisdom, understanding. He knows what you need more than you know what you need. And right now, he's ready. And you know what? You know what? All you have to do is just say, Lord, I need you, Lord. Lord, I'd like to find you. Right now is the first level of his presence right now. I'd like you just to do that in your own way. You can say it right out or whatever you want to do, but just say, Lord, I want you, Lord. Lord, I want to find you. Ho! Just let it come right now. His word said that you're going to find him. You might have to wait a minute. You're going to hear a knock. Now the Lord's going to draw you. He's going to draw you over. Is that you, Lord? It's me, son. It's me, daughter. Come on. Let's play hide and seek. Come and look for me. I will reveal myself to you. Right now, all around this room, just let deposits of the peace, mercy, and joy of the Lord begin to fill this room right now. Let it come. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. Oh. Let it come. Oh, mercy. Mercy. His mercy filling this room. Oh, oh yeah. You know what I sensed since I arrived in this city a couple days ago? One of the biggest things that's needed right now is a renewed rest. Just a rest. Some of you have got back into your busyness. You forgot how to rest in the Lord. Just let his peace come right now. Yes. That's right. Just kind of hold that right there. Hold right where you are. Just like you're an airplane waiting to take off, but there's about five planes in front of you. That's okay. So we're going to take off here in just a minute. But I feel we need to do something before we do that to really get ready for ministry. If we could eliminate these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Do we stack these, John? If we could stack these first six rows and move them against the wall. Stay in tune, though. Don't drop out of what the Holy Spirit's doing.